Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer. I'm an actress, singer, and entrepreneur. On my new podcast, Baby, This is Keke Palmer, I'm asking friends, family, and experts the questions that are in my head. Like, is OnlyFans only bad? Where do memes come from? And where's Tom from MySpace? Listen to Baby, This is Keke Palmer, only on Amazon Music.
Watch What Crappens, Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben, and that's joining me today, the wonderful and hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. What's going on over there? Happy Monday.
Oh, everything is great. Just gearing up for a whole new week of podcasting. What's going on with you?
Same thing, babe. I actually am coming out of a cocoon of watching all of The Traitors in one weekend over on Peacock. Pero Peacock Television decided to take a competition show where there's a surprise twist mystery ending that they don't want anyone to spoil and posted it all in the same day.
Did you get spoiled?
Just pretend I'm in charge of Bravo Bravo programming right now. This is me coming into the meeting. Who the fuck chose to do a mystery show all on one day? You fucking nitwits.
I know.
And then I would have fired everybody and sent them the fuck out, except for the people who came up with the show, because it's a fucking great show.
Yeah. Wait, so did you get spoiled? Is that what you're alluding to?
No, but it forces you to watch it all in one week.
Right.
Because even if you're just going online, someone will say, oh, is anybody watching The Traitors? Because I'm on episode 7 and so-and-so is so funny. So you already know who's not, you know, there's no way to not spoil the show. You know,
well, you know
not going to get kicked off by episode 7, you know?
Well, you know who deserves a big thumbs down is Vulture. I was lucky. I did not get spoiled. But Vulture, this is excluding Brian Moylan's recaps, because Brian Moylan's been dutifully recapping every single episode. But Vulture had an article. The headline was literally, so-and-so explains how they won Traitors. Like, that is the headline with a photo of that person. And I'm like, are you crazy? Like, how would you, like... Like, why would you run that as a headline? It was so rude. And it was like that went up on Saturday or Sunday. I mean,
it's crazy. Beyond rude. Like, they should then cut Vulture off from all screeners and all press. What an idiotic. Like, you want this to grow by word of mouth. Why wouldn't you do it week to week, first of all? This is totally something people would be talking about week to week instead of blowing your load all in one fucking day. Like, one inconsequential day, by the way. It's like January, 14th or something? Like, who cares? What is this? I was so annoyed with that whole company. I was like, who is running you? Are there monkeys in a barrel just, like, pedaling a bicycle? Who is making these decisions over there?
Yeah. I was okay with it because I loved the show so much that I literally could not stop watching it. So I watched like one episode Friday night just to see what it was all about. And then I was like, oh my God. And I watched it all through Saturday. My entire Saturday was dedicated to it.
Yeah. It was a really good show. Loved it. So on the positive note, great show, guys. Just maybe don't ruin your own chances of like getting people to get into it by doing it all at one time. But fantastic show. We actually wanted to cover that show here on Crappens, but when they release 10 at once, we can't. It's pointless because by next week, nobody cares, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But what we're going to do is for the bonus episode this week on Patreon, we're going to talk about the show and we'll talk about really everything and everything that was notable to us. I have some really distinct opinions. I'm also really glad, Ronnie, this is the first time I feel like we've binged something in sync together in a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. Usually it's like years apart. We both have some like stubborn part of us. It's like, oh, really? You're into that? Well, I'm not. I'm into other things. And then it takes like 2 years before we finally give in and watch each other's shit.
Yeah. But this time we were in sync. So we're going to talk about that. But today we're actually not talking about Traitors. We're here to talk about Real Housewives of Potomac. Also, just want to say that tomorrow we have two more shows, our final two shows that we're adding to the Cheater Brand Tour. So keep an eye and an ear out for those. If you missed last week's editions, we added San Diego, St. Paul, Chicago, and Columbus to our schedule. All those tickets, everything is on sale right now. Thank you to everyone who's already bought a ticket. It really means a lot to us. Really looking forward to some packed houses. We're hitting the road in like, gosh, Ronnie, that's like 2 weeks from now. Isn't that crazy? That's wild. It's in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks from now. Our first show of this tour is happening in Austin.
Yep.
It's happening.
2 weeks. This is how time works. Time just keeps on fucking rolling, don't it?
I know.
So yeah, I'm really excited we get to start in my hometown. God knows where we're going to end up, really. Time will tell. All right.
I'm excited to see.
We won't tell you now because we're not Peacock.
I'm really excited to see Baby Gorgeous in person, personally. Finally get to meet the fish.
Well, he's very excited. We're recording, so he's just swimming all around the place. He loves or he's terrified. I'm not really sure what he thinks when we start recording, but he gets to swimming and flicking that ball gown all over the bowl, so he'll love to meet you.
I'm excited. So anyway, are you ready to jump into Real Housewives of Potomac? Is there anything else? Anything else?
Potomac it is. Let's do it.
Potomac it is. So we're here in the middle of a Mexican vacation. We're in Tulum. Last week, I think I was like, where are they? And it turns out they're in Tulum, which is like the city of intrigue on Southern Hospitality. And the Bravo producers are so shady because in the previous leaves, they showed everyone, the woman with the shaman again, and they once again showed the close-up of Robin's track just hanging out of her head. I was like, oh, they're just going to use that footage as long as they can.
There's no amount of positive spiritual energy that fixes bad tracks.
No.
You know? That's it. Robin, that's your road. Walk your road with pride. That was me with my conch. Robin, your fiance is cheating on you, doesn't love you, and isn't going to marry you, and could possibly be held liable for hundreds of thousands of dollars in a terrible sexual harassment case. I'm like the worst shaman ever. I'm just a mean shaman.
You're mean. Tearing people apart. There is no such thing as healing.
I'm going to stand on the beach of Tulum. Come to this shaman for some fucking truth. Hey, do I got a peacock out here? Any peacocks? Come on up. Step right up, hon.
I mean, that's how you really heal, is by facing the truth, right?
Yeah.
Hard truths. You're a hard shaman.
From a really bitchy gay guy. Just the way everybody needs to be told the truth. Because listen, even gay guys are being afraid of being told the truth by really bitchy gay guys. You know?
Yeah, but like for some reason when bitchy gay guys tell hard truths, people think it's hilarious. It's like, you know what? You're stupid. Your husband's going to drag you into a pit of hell and your track is off. Oh my God, he's hilarious and fabulous.
Or, you know, sometimes you get the opposite where even if you're being nice, you're like, oh my God, that gay guy's so bitchy. And you're like, hey, good morning. They're like, oh my God, he called me fat. Fuck that guy. Get him off the road. Get him off the street. I don't even want him living on this street. Can we add no bitchy gay guys onto the HOA? Thanks.
It's true. We're just always misinterpreted. We're misunderstood. Misunderstood. So anyway, Karen and Sasha are fighting, in case anyone forgot. They're like having a full-on table slamming duel. They're both slamming the table with their hands and shouting at each other. That's where we pick up again this week.
Now this is kind of like for musical fans who know Follies, you know, some musical about a bunch of old stars to kind of meet back up to prove that they've still got it. This is kind of Karen and Sasha just standing in the middle of a center stage with, you know, sequins, just both trying to do a time step. I don't need this from you, okay? I don't need a Karen and Sharice fight from 30 years ago that nobody's nobody is watching this show to find out why Sharice is mad at Karen. Sharice is mad at Karen because she got kicked off the show after putting it together all those years ago. And Karen hates Sharice because Sharice told everybody that Karen was fucking around with some dude with blue eyes. The end. Why do we need another five-parter on this?
Because otherwise we have nothing. So we have this. We have.
That's true. You should teach nature in school.
I'd be
why
like,
do we have trees? Because otherwise there's nothing. Next question.
I'm the despondent shaman. You hurt because if you don't hurt, you feel nothing. You give hard truths. I just give bleak answers. You can either heal or you can die.
So they're
fighting. And by the way, you're absolutely right. This is one of those episodes where there's a fight that's about what's not happening on screen. Right, like this is really about like a larger issue. So they're screaming at each other, and Sasha is slamming the table, and Karen's like, "Show them who you are! Keep my mother's name out your fucking mouth!"
Yeah, Karen trying to make it like someone just called her mama a bitch, you know. So that's what Karen's doing, and then yeah. Sharice is just screaming like random housewives things because she doesn't really know what to say. So she's going, "Fake booty, fake ass bitch. You're a fake ass booty, fake ass bitch is who you are, reservations." And Karen's like, "Oh, really? Calling my mother a bitch from hell with one leg? How dare you disrespect my mother? You've been asking for it. And now you got it. You got it, Missy. I just slammed the table in front of a tostada."
"Look, the harder you slam the table, the higher the nachos fly in the air. It's exciting. Boom."
Yeah, so she's like, "Bring out my mother. Go ahead and disrespect her. You've been asking for it." And Sharice is like, "Asking for what? You theatrics? Oh, don't ever put my mother's name in your mouth." "Well, who ever put your mother's name in your mouth? What are you talking about, your mother's name in your mouth?" She's like, "Don't you ever disrespect my mother." She's like, so this fight makes no sense because nobody disrespected her mother. So Sharice is trying to like get her to be specific because she didn't disrespect her mother. And then we finally get to it. Karen says, Sharice says, "What did I do that was disrespectful to your mother?" And Karen says, "Well, I question your genuineness when you showed up to the funeral of my mother."
And Robin's like, "I'm so confused. What is she talking about?" So Karen says that when Sasha showed up at her mom's funeral, Karen was not friends with Sasha at that time. And she was not invited. And Sharice made it very important to lean her head into my limo with my family to let me know that she was at my mother's funeral. And my aunt told me as long as Sharice never brought it up on television that she was coming from a good place. Well, guess what, security? We have the footage. To bring it up on television, I should articulate.
It's just a picture of Sharice standing at a bus stop alone. Reservations? So Candace asks why it was offensive that she went to this funeral. And Karen's like, "Well, I didn't find it offensive until she brought it up at your 1 year anniversary for whatever it was that you had 1 year at." And so we see this 1 year anniversary party. What was this?
That was their 1 year wedding anniversary, I think.
Oh God, I feel like those two have been together forever already.
I know. God, it's because they're a forever couple.
Yeah, obviously. It seems like 20 years ago that they were like, "I want to glue roses to the ceiling."
Yeah.
Whatever they were doing. Yeah.
Well, I can't believe it's already been so long. I can't believe the 1 year anniversary party was 3 years ago. Timelines on The Housewives are so weird because it's like when they put timestamps on the show, when they say 3 years ago or something, it's like 3 years ago from when we watch it. But then like when it was actually filmed was like 9 months ago to a year ago. And then they're referring to things that to them was 2 years ago. That's why I feel like kids go through college at such a crazy rate on the show, because we see them going off to college. But by the time we see that, they've already pretty much finished their freshman year. So then all of a sudden they're like graduating and it feels like they've only been in college for 2 years. But somehow 4 years have gone by and it just sort of like bends all the rules of space and time.
Yeah, I think the timestamps on this show get fillers wherever the ladies do. Because you're like, wait a minute. If you just look at pictures, especially when they show their pictures in the flashbacks, like, whoa, whoa. Especially Karen. Karen has some crazy looks going back and forth throughout the years. Like, she gets faceless and then I think literally gets face lowers, but then lifts again. It's like they put her face on one of those, like, air things where, like, you can press a button and it'll go higher. And or if you're playing like a song you want to get down and dirty with, you can hit another button and it'll be like.
Well, they made her adjustments in her on her face in Photoshop, but they didn't know that there was an undo button. So they're like, let's move it this way. That's not quite working for me. It's like, well, you can hit undo. Like, no, we'll just move back into place. And then they've like moved it into the wrong place. And it's just like they're trying to fix. It's just like a trail of face that's happening on the original document. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's actually really what happened, but
so I think that her Aunt Belle is right, basically. I think that Charisse, you don't talk to Charisse. Yes, it's kind of fishy. She shows up at some funeral. Now, of course, it's nice in general to show up at someone's mom's funeral and be like, I'm sorry. But of course, Karen is on a show Charisse is trying to get back onto. And so I think Aunt Belle had it right when she said, listen, she's coming from a good place unless she goes on TV and uses this against you in some kind of fight, which we saw Charisse do at this one-year anniversary party 3 years ago where she showed up to the party and was like, Karen, I'm the only person that's been there for you. No one else was at your mother's funeral, which basically invalidated every good thing that she did. So I'm with Karen. Fuck Charisse. She's trying too hard and trying to get on the show.
I mean, I don't know. I'm like very split on this because I do think Charisse is trying to be on the show. I do think, as Giselle pointed out later on, like that's a long way to go clout chasing. That's a long way, which may speak to desperation. True. But I also feel like Karen is also the sort of person who will declare like I was the only one who went there for you. Like she, you know, she does many performative things just that way she can claim that she was. Like, I was there for you for this. I did this. She once went to help Monique sell something at the, whatever the business. Monique was selling something at the same place that Giselle was selling her Everhue Beauty, and Karen went there for Monique, etc. And like, Karen doesn't want to go to that thing, but she does it because she wants, it's like building allies. So Karen has a track record of doing it too. And she specifically is suspicious of Charisse doing it because it's what Karen does. And so since it's what Karen knows, she assumes everyone does it. So I don't know. I don't think it's as cut and dry. I don't think that Charisse is maybe totally innocent, but I also don't think it was a fully malevolent deed on Charisse's part.
I do. And as far as having like a 3-hour drive, what's Charisse doing? She ain't got shit to do. You know, could have put a decent book on tape on there. It's worth it trying to get back on TV. That's what I say.
Yeah,
but who knows? Either way, it's a stupid fight, you know?
Yeah.
So, and Karen, we all know you can never be 100% on Karen's side because no one said anything about Karen's mother. And Karen just keeps yelling like somebody called her mother every bad word in the book and, you know, fat. And it's like making your mama sit around the house jokes, you know, like Karen's really taking it to a completely different level. So you can't completely be on her side either.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, so Karen is like,
you know, anyone who attends someone's friend's mother's funeral for self purpose, which is just to say I was there for you. Fuck you. Fuck you.
And Charisse is like, well, I said you weren't being a good friend because I was there for her and she wasn't there for me. And she wanted to change it and said something about her mother. But I think Karen wants to convince other people that I have ill intentions. So she's using these scenarios as an excuse. I was there to be supportive at that funeral because nobody else was there. I'm like, oh, wow. That's so brave of you, Charisse. You went where no one else would go. But how did you know nobody else was going to be there? You know?
Right.
I don't understand her logic. So Robin is now jumping on this because she's always trying to get Karen for no reason. Yeah. I will never understand Robin's beef with Karen, but I think it's hilarious because she's always like, Aha! So, Karen, then you've been lying, saying we're good and we've grown apart and all that type of stuff. You just were using funeral jealousy.
Karen's like, well, that was my reason. Yes, that was my reason for going apart 5 years ago. And Giselle, this is when Giselle's like, who clout chases going 4 hours away? No cameras, no man's land. That's a clout chase? Never. That's actually a friend that drove to support you, Karen. Just say thank you. Maybe they're just so used to driving 5 hours to get to Robin's house that, like, the act of driving 3 hours to Surrey County is, like, not that big of a deal anymore.
And Karen's like, let's just be honest. You've been banned from public events because you have attacked people's families. You have tried to destroy people's families, Cherise.
Someone please tell me what public events Cherise has been banned from.
Oh, President Biden's inauguration, didn't you hear? I have all the tea on Hunter Biden.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Amazon Pickup is a convenient and secure way to collect your Amazon parcels from locations near you. Help keep gifts a surprise when you choose to pick up from an Amazon locker or counter. Parcels can be picked up on your schedule, and you can rest assured knowing that your packages are kept safe and secure. Plus, there's no additional cost to use an Amazon locker or counter. Find a convenient pickup point near your home, work, or the places you already visit. Amazon Pickup is the worry-free option for the times when home delivery isn't ideal. To find your nearest pickup location or to learn more, go to amazon.co.uk/wondery. That's amazon.co.uk/WONDERY.
Hey, I'm Arisha.
And I'm Brooke.
And we're the hosts of Wondery's podcast, Even the Rich, where we bring you absolutely true and absolutely shocking stories about the most famous families and biggest celebrities the world has ever seen. Our newest series is all about the incomparable diva, Whitney Houston. Whitney's voice defined a generation, and even after her death, her talent remains unmatched. But her incredible success hit a deeply private pain.
In our series, Whitney Houston, Destiny of a Diva, we'll tell you how she hid her true self to make everyone around her happy, and how the pressure to be all things to all people led her down a dark path.
Follow Even the Rich wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So Sasha goes, who? And then slams the table. She's like, I'm going to bring the table slamming back because that was fun. Who have I attacked? And Karen's like, oh, slam the table. You're known for that. You drag people. That's not even true. Oh, people are trying to reclaim their reputations after you. Sasha the terrible, destroying families and reputation left and right.
In this community, you are known for slamming tables.
Imagine that being your reputation.
They're making it sound like she's like Joe McCarthy.
So the music makes some weird like gets into hard rock mode because they're supposed to be like really fighting now. And she's like, oh yeah, well, what about you lying? You have friends who you don't even deal with anymore. And do I come to the table and repeat that they had to get you out of rehab and all of that stuff? No, I don't. And it's like, yeah, fine. It's like the Sunday auto truck fight song on the TV. It's like Sunday.
Maybe they were just filming this at like Cabo Wabo, you know, like because that's owned by isn't that owned by the guy, the former lead singer of Van Halen, Sammy Hagar? Maybe they're just like Sammy Hagar is in the background being like, oh, there's a fight going on. Cabo Wabo of Tulum.
Beat the table like a badass in the community.
Now, I will say that if Karen is accusing you of going around destroying people's reputations and like your reputation is that you destroy other people's reputations, maybe the best retort is not to tell us, you know, I know she's been to rehab because I know her friends, and her friends also live in Potomac. And many years ago, Karen went to rehab in Florida, and my friends went down to Florida, and they got her out of rehab, and they partied. I'm like, well, see, now you're just spreading vicious rumors again.
But also, you're giving us probably four or five girls that should be cast over you.
You know what I mean? Like, Charisse, don't make literally even people we don't know sound more exciting than you. Because if Karen did, in fact, have to go to rehab, and she has a few friends who went and broke her out of rehab to go party the rest of the weekend, boom, there's our cast.
Yeah.
That's it.
And it's a kind of, you're undermining your own case. You're trying to prove that you were there for Karen. Well, you weren't there for her when she needed you most, which is when she was stuck in rehab and needed someone to spring her out of the joint.
Yes. And so Karen's like, oh, really? Rehab then? Oh, you want to do this? You want to do this? Let's do this. I can't even go to Safeway now. And then then they start to play clown music, because even the music's like, what the fuck is she talking about now? And Mia goes, why are you going to Safeway?
And Josh is like, I'm breaking up families. You're fucking a man that is married and I'm breaking up families. She's like, no, listen. This has nothing to do with Rusty at Safeway. I didn't even bring up Rusty at Safeway. Who's that? Who's that? I said no one. I said no one.
You're also dusty and beat up, Charisse. Say what you need to say, Charisse. You can't touch me, Charisse. You can't touch me, Charisse. And Robin's like, whoa, here we are again about the boyfriend. And everyone's like, no comment, because they've all heard about this boyfriend that Karen has. And Karen's like, Charisse has not just ruined one family, darling. Multiple families, many families. Unsafe way. That's where they shop. Unsafe way. I need to know where Safeway comes in. Can somebody explain the Safeway?
Yeah. So is Karen suggesting that she goes to Safeway and everyone's staring at her because they've heard rumors about blue eyes? Is that what's happening? She's like, I can't even go to a neighborhood grocery store that claims to be just a humble store but has prices as expensive as Whole Foods. I can't even go there anymore.
I guess. Well, none of this is making sense. So Robin's like, well, I'm going to guess that the shaman didn't work. And
shaman. No one clocked her on that. Shaman.
Well, it worked on Ashley, yeah. And Ashley's like, yeah, healing isn't always pretty. Sometimes healing has to get very down and gritty. And Giselle's like, it was gritty tonight, honey. You are right. You all communicated. And now I see a rainbow.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, it's there. I mean, like, you have to use binoculars to see it, but there's definitely a rainbow somewhere or someplace. So then Candace decides that in the spirit of healing, she wants to work on Mia and Jacqueline. So Jacqueline's like, I don't want to voice this in front of you all. I mean, I've told her that we're better than this, and I just met you all, and me and her can have this conversation alone. And everyone's like, okay, cool. We're not going to push it. We don't care enough.
Yeah. So 30 minutes later, Candace is in the bar hanging out with some of the girls, and they're dancing to her songs in the hotel lobby. You know, everyone's greatest, proudest moment. You.
Yeah. Singing, dancing to Drive Back in the lobby. We're also, by the way, continuing to get White Lotus style interstitials of waves crashing in slow motion with eerie music and like drumming, you know. It's like bum, 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 bum. It's like very, very White Lotus, like someone's really gonna die tonight, or Aubrey Plaza's gonna walk in and start nagging someone.
Yeah, Aubrey Plaza's just gonna come in here, and Aubrey Plaza, like, what is this, like a buffet? I hate buffets.
Jacqueline and Mia are like, they're ridiculous. Like, they have such a bad relationship. Their, like, relationship is not as good as ours, right?
They look so privileged. So then Mia and Jacqueline go have their talk in one of their rooms. And Mia's like, all right, well, you wanted to talk, so talk to me. And Jacqueline's like, what went down today was unacceptable. How dare you saying I don't have friends? I know you were upset about our little tat, but to take it to this level and make an accusation. You were insinuating Gordon and I. Like, come on, how far are we going to take this? Are you just going to tell lies?
And Jacqueline goes, and Mia's like, what was the lie? And Jacqueline's like, are you serious right now? And she's like, yeah, but what was the lie? And she's like, well, you know, saying that I opened my legs to married men. And Mia's like, just own it. It's good. Move on.
She's like, that is disgusting. And she's like, well, I'm trying to help you by getting you to say the truth, but you don't want to listen, so I guess I can't help you. Own it. Own it. And so then Jacqueline's like, oh, really? And so Gordon wasn't married when you got with him? She's like, well, he was, and I owned it. I slept with a married man. See? No big deal.
So basically, I mean, what I'm reading through this is that, like, yeah, Jacqueline has probably slept with some married men, but it's just not something she wants to really put out there on TV. And Mia's like, I don't care if you don't want to put it out on TV. I'm putting it out on TV because that's the way we roll on this show. And Jacqueline's not happy about it. So she's like, this relationship is done. It's done. You sold your soul.
And that's that. Those two still trying for something that nobody cares about. Really.
Yeah, no one cares about it. But I do think that in a weird way, I think Mia's kind of a shitty friend. Because like, if that's your best friend and you see that this was something that she did not really want to put on the air, that's when you, for the sake of your friendship, backpedal a little bit and be like, oh yeah, I was just like, I meant this instead or whatever or something. And like, she's like, nope. Nope, you have to own it. I brought you on this TV show. You have to own it. And I'm happy to, you know, destroy our friendship for this stupid point.
Yeah, I still don't even really know what the fight's about. So I can't really take a side. From what I'm getting from it, Mia's just mad that she has to be bothered with her children's nanny scheduling because the sister, Jacqueline's sister, is the nanny. And so yeah. Mia's mad that she has to, like, share her nanny with the biological nieces and nephews of her nanny. So I think that's the whole fight to me. Otherwise, to me, it's like you're both, you know, stock people at Walmart, but then one of you gets moved up to Target, and then you really start looking down on the Walmart one because you're like, Target's fancier. Yeah. So, fuck you, loser. And so I would say that Mia's like in the Target aisle. She's like, look at the difference between our lamps and your lamps. Sadness.
I think that's a very apt analogy. I applaud that. So now it's the morning, and Jacqueline's eating breakfast and all sad, and Ashley is setting up yoga towels on the beach, and it's like, you know, they're gonna be doing like their activity for the day. So of course no one wants to actually do yoga on the beach, so everyone's coming up with excuses not to be there. Like Karen's just hiding off in a cabana. She's like, not interested, not for me, no thank you, Sam. No thank you, I'm gonna stay here in the cabana.
Yeah, I like that people on this show are like, no.
Yeah, they're like, well, we're down to do things. We're not doing hot sandy yoga. We already did the shaman, and we're gonna be going swimming in like a pond later. So this is it. We're gonna have a nice breakfast.
Yeah, they just say no. You know, they're like, nope, won't be doing that. So Karen finds a place to sit, and Candace comes to find her. And they start talking about how me and Jacqueline went to talk, and Karen's very hopeful for them. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those episodes. Not really a lot's going. This is an episode where everyone's really trying to find a fight, but no one really can. So they just kind of wander around Mexico. So then Mia is telling Giselle about her fight, and she's like, well, our fights are usually, like, fine the next day, but when she involves other people, and it just becomes hard to forgive, and even harder to forget.
Well, you're the one who like took it to the next level by saying keep your legs closed to married men, you know. So Jacqueline tells us, when I was younger, Mia was more down to earth. Like now Mia's a whole different person. It's all about like how many businesses she has. Like she's a boss. And I feel like I can't trust her right now. I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna start going to a private chiropractor. Yeah. I'm gonna do it.
And so then Ashley's like, Karen, Candace, Karen, Candace, are you guys ignoring me? And Candace is like, They just completely ignore her. Karen's like, I'm good. We're going to have a good time right here. Me and you. So yeah. Then Candace asks how her hands are after all that table banging. And she's like, I don't recall banging a table. I remember seeing the table get banged.
I remember my hands hovering over the table and the table rising up and hitting my hands. But I don't actually remember putting my hands on the table itself. That's not that happened. And Candace is like, so how are you and Charisse going to be? And she's like, well,
I'm going to take my glasses off because I want to be very genuine with you. Okay, my glasses are off. I'm looking at you. You can see my genuineness in my eyes. Last night proved I was right not to trust. Hold on, there's some sand in my eyes. It's ruining the genuineness at this moment. Hold on 1 second. Let me just get that fleck of sand. And we're back to being genuine. Okay, listen. We are not friends, and we do not have friends, but we do have friends within this group, and so I could be cordial. I could be cordial. Okay, sunglasses are going on. I'm being back to insincere.
So down at the beach, Ashley is showing them how to do Kundalini, and she's like,
yeah, Kundalini is like the deepest meditation that goes inside your sexuality and your vagina, and I've been doing it for years. And personally, I haven't experienced anything, but I'm trying. I'm trying.
Have you heard of Kundalini before? I'd never heard of Kundalini.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You never heard of that?
I never heard of Kundalini before.
Well, someone needs to tune up, Ben. Sounds like someone, I know what I'm getting you for your birthday. Little birthday. Kundalini. It'll just be Ashley doing a Kundalini tape.
Kundalini.
Michael.
I'm looking at it right now. Kundalini meditation. Wow. It reminds me of Linda Cardellini, I have to say. What if there was like a yoga that was based off of Linda Cardellini?
I would imagine it would be as terrified as Michael as a regular Kundalini, you know? She'd be like, what do we do about murdering Michael? What do we do about the fact that we murdered Michael, but now we're friends, even though we shouldn't be friends, but we're unlikely friends, and I really love you, Christina Applegate, even though the show's only getting 3 seasons.
Just her processing her emotions through chant.
Linda Cardellini. Just Linda Cardellini going over her career.
Why wasn't I a bigger part of the ending of Bloodline when I gave so much to that show and they just kind of wrote me off like, wow, she's responsible, so she's not even worth covering now.
Remember, I was actually in Mad Men. Wow. From Velma to Mad Men. Wow. And now there's a new Velma out and no one likes it. Wow.
She's like the worst at Kundalini ever. Like her vagina's just like, I'm not a G-Cal, you know?
You have to memorize her Wikipedia entry before you can actually start participating in Kundalini meditation.
So Ashley's still not experienced anything from Kundalini, but she just keeps on trying. Keep on trucking, Ash. So they hum and make stupid sounds. And then they start humping the air. You know, and Karen and Candace just look at them like, yeah, we're glad we missed that. Okay.
Yeah. They're
whenever it's good. Like an Ashley event, whenever Ashley says it's time for an event, you know, you're going to have to fuck something, even if it's just the air, a conch shell. It's going to be something. It's going to be grinding your ass to something. And they chose to sit out and I applaud it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Mia is like rotating around like she's an inflatable thing in front of a used car dealership. She's like, yeah. She's like, Jason, I can't use my vibrator, so I'm just going to go around in the sand. I think I'm feeling it right now.
So now Charisse shows up with Robin, you know, the two most charismatic of this current cast. They basically come down like, that's how they sound walking through the sand. Yeah. And
they're doing Kundalini meditation. Just bean sounds.
Robolini. Rob Charisse-ly. Reservations.
Ooh. Reservations.
Reservations. So they come down and Charisse is now so furious. She's like, oh yeah, Kellen, she's so fucking fake. Last night I didn't sleep well, and I'm done with her. Girl, I hope I don't end up in a Mexican prison with her, because I'll go to prison for her. No one cares, Charisse, okay? She's not even trying to fight with you. That's how little she cares. Let it go. Make other friends.
Yeah. So now the women all get into the Sprinter van to go to the next activity, and Mia's telling Karen that she's just livid with Jacqueline. Just livid. I mean, there's a full-on fight and feud happening here, and no one even really cares. I mean, Karen's like, well, the body language between Jacqueline and Mia, I mean, we could be in the North Pole. It's cold as fuck.
fuck up here. I mean, when you go to slam a table, your hands get stuck to the table because they ice over immediately.
And Karen changes the subject because there's nothing to talk about. So she's like, Robin, why not wear the veil I got you from the dollar store? That wasn't just a dollar store. It was a Dollar Tree. How dare you? And Robin's like, you already know why. Because, like, I don't know. I don't feel like I need it. I don't know. Maybe I should have a wedding. Maybe I shouldn't have a wedding. Maybe I should get married. Maybe I shouldn't get married.
How is there not just like a little gay guy running around this bus right now screaming,
cut, I need more, anything more, anything at all.
I know. I feel like the people at Bravo are like furious because they just love, they love building a wedding storyline, and Robin's not giving them anything. After all these years, they finally thought they were going to get it from Robin, and now it's like, oh, maybe we're going to go somewhere and say I do, and that's going to be it, just the four of us. I don't know.
So it turns out she's going to pull a Sheena because her brother-in-law is getting married, and so he's getting married, where'd they say, in Jamaica, right?
In Jamaica, yeah.
So they're going to go to their wedding and then sneak off and have their own their own wedding. So, wow. Not only is she going to renege on her storyline of having a wedding, she's going to Sheena-ize the wedding. She's going to pull a Sheena. That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. That was actually immediately what I thought of. I was like, this is just like Sheena all over again. And it's always sad when you're cribbing a Sheena storyline.
Yeah, that's pretty bad, guys. Come on, Robin. So now they go to some river expedition thing. And Ashley's like, this is a cenote, and it's for spirituality. It has healing powers. And they're like, oh, there's mosquitoes everywhere. Just like, I'm dying. Ah.
Yeah.
These mosquitoes are all over me. Ah.
Yeah, and to be fair, Jacqueline is very much how I would act at a place like that, where she's like, are there parasites in this water? Because I always think, like, any sort of pond, any sort of water has parasites in it. That's what I usually feel like. I'm like, I'm going to come back. I'm going to be like one of those Nat Geo specials where it's like, I shouldn't be alive because a parasite came in and laid eggs under my skin. And I thought I was healing myself in a cenote. And instead I came back and I'm, half insect now.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Well, there's a guy there promising things, and this makes me not ever want to go in whenever there's a salesman. Like, it shouldn't need a salesman. You know what I mean? Cenote, healing. That's it. I read it in the brochure. Boom. You go in, maybe naked. I don't know. You pray. Whatever you do. If there's a guy there, like, he was like an expedition pamphlet holder guy on, like, vacation where they're like, hey, fishing. Want to fish? He had that kind of energy. But
like
he
Southern
was like,
hospitality?
Yeah.
He's like a VIP server.
Yeah. He's like, VIP table. You want a VIP? Bottle service. Yeah, that kind of energy. But it's for a cenote. So that makes me a little nervous. Where he's like, healing. Okay, listen. The cenote is going to do five things for you. Healing. Shealing, which is like healing. But quiet, healing.
It's shit healing. Feeling. You feel things.
Yeah. And money. You're going to get some money too. And maybe some health. Okay. So healing, feeling, sneeling, pokeeling. How many healings did I say, Margaret? Okay. Qualiling. Okay.
Peeling.
This is bullshit. This is just a mosquito puddle that somebody's trying to charge for.
Well, but now we also see where Grace Lilly learned how to do her VIP waitressing, because she clearly, when she was in Tulum, went to the cenote, and now she's like, oh, I've learned so much. I'm going to bring this back to Charleston, the most popular club on all of King Street.
So you want to date me, but you don't have any money and you've got mosquito bites all over your place. So no, Tay.
No, it's a cenote. Now I'm saying so no, okay?
So no, Tay. Like, so no thanks.
So they jump in. Also, and I'm sorry to nitpick on this poor cenote who did nothing to me, but you can't call something like a healing spiritual journey and then right across from me, there's like five-year-olds in bathing suits doing jackhammers in at the same time. You know what I mean? Is this a healing pool or is this a place where there's 30 children about to pee where I'm trying to heal?
Yeah, because someone definitely did a backflip into the cenote also. And I was like, congratulations, you're about to break your back. What are you doing? Are you crazy? Are you a crazy person right now? I'm like, that's not conducive to healing, because I would be sitting there watching people jump in and be like, you're going to break your back, don't break your back. And I'm not going to be in a healing state when I'm feeling that.
Yeah. So like mosquito sucks. They all hate it. So then they go to eat lunch at like a taco buffet type place. And then we get it again. That weird sperm bud larva
the
thing.
Maggot.
What is that?
I don't know. Some larva. Dom said it reminded him of a bot fly. And I was like, what's a bot fly? And then I Googled it. Don't Google it, everyone. Do not Google the bot fly, because it's not pleasant looking, okay, what it does to you. So, but his suggestion was
disgusting. He was doing Linda Cardellini yoga, too. He was like, I could still do season 4 if somebody would hire me. It doesn't always have to be about Christina Applegate all the time.
I wish I knew more Linda Cardellini references, but I've really used them all up.
The main guy from Bloodline really is hot, but God, what a dark heart. And I think that was his last show where he's really going to play somebody hot.
Even the Google searches for Linda Cardellini's career has a pretty limited carousel. But she's in Freaks and Geeks.
I'm just a couple of letters away from good kind of bean.
I'm like I'm just gonna, my IMDb really is not as long as I thought it would be, but I was in The Green Book, which won an Oscar.
The vagina on the white slug sperm bug just burst open with that knowledge from IMDb.
The larva from afar looks like it's still just 17, but then when you get closer, you realize, wow, this is a fully grown lady.
So they walk over to lunch, and Karen's like, all right, where's the food? Hey, everyone, I'm Karen. I just wanted to say, bam, she like just slams the table on the food truck. It's me. It's my new show of power that I learned from someone who's been banned from every event in the community. Sasha.
Yes, you may have heard about me at the Safeway, but I'm here to change your opinion about who I am, because my reputation's been tarnished irreparably by Sasha. Anyway, no chicken for me. No, I do not eat the dirty bird. Only a beef fajita, please. Thank you.
So Ashley's like, this was a great experience to have together, right? The shaman, the cenote, are we cleansed?
And then there's just like clown music while people give hateful looks to each other. And Robin's like, I would say there's a number of pockets that need healing. And Karen's like, all right, I have a question, Candace. How are you and Ashley now?
While we're going over storylines that are basically over, and we have nothing else to do, and even Linda Catalini has gone home from doing voiceover work today. How do you feel about Ashley?
Which is basically her way of saying, like, fine, you want to try to heal me? How about you guys heal each other? And she's like,
you know, I just brought it up because, you know, you brought your friend to talk to Candace. Deborah was her name. You regret bringing her to the show, do you? And Ashley's like, well, the reason why I brought Deborah was because if someone was saying that about Michael, I'd want to hear it directly from their mouth. And if you told me that the cocktail waitress at the MGM wanted to tell me about what Michael's doing, I'd be like, where's she at? Like, I'm down.
They bring this whole thing up again. And Candace handles it really well. She's like, well, Ashley, I think that a lot of the way you think about relationships is because the relationship you are now out of had toxic notes to it and trust issues. And my hope for you, Ashley, and I'm saying this with very cute hair today that I worked very hard on. I hope you receive a relationship where you don't have to feel like, I hope a bitch ain't talking to my man, because that's not what a relationship should feel like. Love should feel like the man smells like a duck quesadilla even at 4 a.m. and I want to strangle him with his own pillow. That is love. And for you, ma'am, I hope you are gifted this one day.
I know Candace is surprisingly very level-headed in this situation. I was in my mind, I was like, oh, here we go again. We're going to just start this one up again. But Candace is like very chill and borderline compassionate. So Ash is like, well, I guess there have been some toxic elements of my relationship. And then they do a flashback of like Michael Darby allegedly grabbed a cameraman's butt. And 2 years ago, well, I was at the MGM and a girl came up to me and we ended up going back to the hotel. You know, just like all his greatest hits.
Yeah. 1999. They just keep scrolling up.
Yeah.
So Ashley's like, well, now I understand how I would approach a situation. It's not how you would approach a situation. So I will say, I'm sorry to you if bringing Deb felt harmful, because it was not meant to be harmful.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be harmful, just humiliating. So Candace is like, she's like,
it was just supposed to end your marriage. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? Sorry.
Also, by the way, Ashley is acting like, oh, yeah, I brought her because I know you'd want to hear directly from her. It's like, well, maybe you should have given her a heads up. You were actually trying to ambush her and throw her off guard. So don't act like it was actually this really beautiful overture that you were making under the guise of transparency and honesty.
Yeah, just trying to be a good friend.
So Candace is like, yeah, but you keep sabotaging it every time we apologize and it just doesn't feel genuine. So, and Ashley's like, yeah, that's fair. Well, I guess I would say I'm harboring resentment towards you because of how insensitive you were during sensitive times in my life. Okay, well, finally, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
First of all, I can't believe anyone said that on the Housewives show.
Yeah, I know, because that's like the root of everything, including the Shasha and Karen fight, by the way.
I feel like all Housewives shows need to end now. It's like someone finally figured out the puzzle, you know?
Yeah. And basically, Ashley's like, you weren't compassionate about me losing a baby. And we see a flashback of when Ashley was at Monique's house talking about her miscarriage. And then Candace was like kind of making fun of the fact that she had no tears coming down her cheeks. And Ashley's like, you know, you weren't compassionate. And I was hoping you'd say sorry for being insensitive during this time, especially since you're trying to have a baby right now and you understand.
Yeah. And so Wendy's like, can I say something to someone who has hung out with both of you? When the three of us are together, Wendy, I'm not about the three of you. Okay. So she's like, when the three of us are together, we can have the best of times. So it's not that you hate each other. You're just hurt from past feelings. Can we leave the past in the past? And Candace is like, I've tried that before. And Wendy's like, but no relationship can sustain all this old stuff. So they all agree. And Giselle's like, plant some seeds. Ah. And so they've all decided that they've had progress for the day. And that means they're going to get canceled. So I think they'll go back to their rooms like, how do we get Wendy mad again?
Yeah. They are showing signs of true growth and an ability to truly move forward, which means it's all going to come crashing down at the reunion when Andy's like, but she also said you're a bitch and you have a 5-4 head. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
Circle of Life.
Circle of Bravo Life.
Yeah.
Just when you start showing growth, the reunion just tears you all down. So now we're back to the hotel, and now we have more. So we're getting more of this like beguiling White Lotus music that's like, it's like all like, ooh, mysterious, what's gonna happen? And then we just see a sign that says lobby bar. Like, well, it's not as menacing as like the alligator coming out of the water or like the waves crashing the rocks, but you know, a lobby bar is also, I guess, sort of scary. Maybe
this one's super weird because they really are coming in heavy with the like it shows the lobby bar and then gives you the snake rattle. And then it's like a phone camera. It's not even a real camera. It's like somebody behind Ashley and Charisse on their phone. You just hear.
Could I have some champagne, please? I'm like, wow, guys, why are you setting this up to be a horror movie? And they just ordered champagne. And Ashley says, I'm proud of you for standing up to Karen. And she goes, I simply said I was there for her. Shaky camera, shaky. Is someone going to get killed? Kill somebody. I mean, you've got the camera work and the soundtrack for it. Make something happen. Get rid of Sasha. I knew there was a reason she was back.
Sasha was like, I just met a whole bunch of gay men on a yacht. I think I'm going to go with them. So
they would never.
That would never happen, unfortunately. Yeah, for Sasha. Sorry, Sasha. Yeah. It's just a commuter ferry.
Yeah.
And she's just one of many people.
Everyone stays on the boat. She never would have been invited into that storyline in the first place.
Never. She would have been trying to. She's just on the little dinghy, be like, hey, I'm down here also. All right, can I be invited up?
She wouldn't even get up there. It would be Valentina just right away, like, I know. Goodbye.
Valentina makes her work down by the pool. She's like, but I'm a guest. I don't care. Go down by the pool.
Are you the lady who keeps calling reservation? Is this you? Finally, I see you. Out. Get out.
Yes. That's pretty much what would happen. So, Shasha's talking about how she says, I personally thought Karen didn't know how to be a genuine friend to anybody, but I thought I could convert her. However, I was wrong. And when my dad died, Karen sent a one-line text that just said, sorry for your loss.
And that's it. One line. So then, of course, Karen had to release a text. So we all know that it was not just one line. And how dare she accuse Karen of only sending one line of text? How dare you make me look like such a monster? And the real text is something like, dearest Cerise, you smell like poo-poo. I'm so sorry for your loss. It's from Karen. I'm sorry that you lost someone even smelling like poo-poo because you have a poo-poo face. Love, Karen. And so it was longer than one line, but it wasn't exactly like, you know, overflowing with compassion.
Yeah. Well, either way, Mia now FaceTimes Gordon, which is great. She's like, see, I want to see how the kids. And then Ashley's FaceTiming your mom, and she's saying hi to Dylan and Dean. And now it's nighttime, and everyone heads to the Sprinter van for the restaurant.
And this lady is like, buenas noches, I'm Chef Alejandra. We have culinary experience prepared for you. And they're like, I need hamburgers.
I know. It was such a cute little restaurant, by the way. I loved it. I wanted to go to it.
I really liked it. She's like, please have a seat. And Ashley goes, guys, isn't this authentic? Like, what the hell do they know?
I know. So they all are, you know, they're getting served and everything. It's really cute and everything is nice. And Wendy asks Robin when the wedding is, because apparently they're not happy with the answer that Robin gave in the van earlier. So Robin's like, well, I finally realized I don't want a wedding and I don't know if I need one. And Giselle just like hangs her head down. She's like, oh my God, she's not going to get married.
You had one job. So she's like, yeah, I want to keep it simple, but like a suit maker came over. So we're just going to seal my brother-in-law's Jamaica trip. And Karen's like, girl, that's bullshit. It's been 7 years. You just don't want your mom. It's been 7 years. You're not even going to have your mama there. Come on now. You're not getting married.
Yeah. And Ashley's like, well, I support the efficiency of it all. And like, you know, not that, you know, but I'm not going to support that. No one else is going to be there. So Mia's like, are we going to throw a bachelorette party? I say bachelorette party. And they're all like, yeah, sure, fine. So the food arrives. And then Giselle is like, so when I went to bed last night and when I woke up this morning, what happened last night with Karen and Charisse did not sit well with me. Neither did our dinner. But that's a different story for some Pepto-Bismol. I felt like Charisse's character was completely assassinated. And I don't know Charisse to be a family destroyer. I know Charisse to be honest and amazing and someone who wastes money on things like champagne rooms in their kitchen.
Clearly, if there's a queen of Potomac, that is Charisse. So, look, you are the one starting this fight. over and over and over. The only reason they even fought last night is because you and stupid Robin won't give it up. Nobody cares about this fight. Karen doesn't like Charisse. Charisse was fired. You're, for whatever reason, trying to bring Charisse back on the show. Nobody cares. There is literally nobody in the audience cheering, yay, Charisse, okay? Cut the crap. They're only fighting because you're making them fight, okay? And Charisse is not the queen of Potomac. That's the funniest fucking thing. It's like the queen of McDonald's, and then they just cut to the big Grimace out on the playground. Like, did you miss a shot? Grimace is not the king of McDonald's.
I can go into any Safeway and not have people stare at me. I can go into any Safeway and have people not even know who I am. I am the queen of Potomac.
So Karen's like, oh, God, just stop. This is dead now. And she's like, well, I can give my thoughts, Karen. What do you mean I have to stop by? She's like, well, you can give your thoughts, but there's nothing else to discuss on this issue for me. She's like, you can't shut me down. She's like, I will not discuss this anymore.
Well, in this group, we are held to the fire for what we say and do, but you're off limits. And
I did not say that, Robin. And then Giselle's like, well, that's what you just said. So Karen's like, I'm done. I'm not going to do this anymore.
And so Robin tells us that Karen is just a big phony and it's going to come catching up to her. And for you to flip something like someone coming to your mother's funeral against them, how dare you? This is going to come get you. Which I love Robin just going off on karma so much while it's just kicking her in the ass so hard right now as this is airing. So then Karen's like, don't talk about my mama. She tries that again. And like, nobody said anything about your mother, Karen. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So Sasha is like, finally Sasha says, you know, look, I've had real grief. I lost 3 brothers before organizing this friend group. I've already lost a mother, so I know what that feels like. I lost my dad and I lost a sister during COVID, so I know grief. But if anyone comes to me and tries to be kind to me, I'm not going to look at that as a negative. You know, I've got to be accused of all this other stuff. Like, I'm desperate to be around this group when I worked my ass off to get this group together in the first place. So what she's saying is, well, first of all, the first part of that is like very sad. I did not realize that Sasha really had been through all that. And I felt like I almost wish she had led with that a little bit earlier, because I feel like that does kind of change my view on it a little bit. But then when the last part of that statement is basically her saying, hey, I started this TV show. Okay, so show some respect. Okay, I worked hard to get you on this show and now you're leaving me in the dust and that's not cool.
Yeah, she's like, I started this show, so if I want to come back on it, get the fuck out of my way. No one, and Karen points out, she's like, well, I would like you. Just, I wasn't even invited to that. You didn't invite me. And she's like, yeah, because nobody knew you. I didn't know you. You know, you were like you came with a friend, and then somebody offered you a role on the show because you were interesting or whatever.
Yeah.
So Karen's saying, like, I didn't use you to get on this show, lady. I didn't even know you. And she's like, well, by proxy, you did. Because it was my party that you were at that you got discovered at. So now I deserve to be on this show.
Which what I don't understand about it is that, like, earlier this season, Giselle was saying how she, Karen, and Charisse, the three of them go way back and they used to have all this fun together. And now Karen and Sasha are saying that they really didn't seem to know each other very much until it came time to cast this show.
Right. Well, I guess way back was at the beginning of the show, right?
Maybe that's what it is, like 6 or 7 years ago. I guess that is way back at this point. I was thinking they had a friendship of 20 years.
Yeah, that's how they make it seem. But, you know, it's Housewives. So
yeah,
remember when Lisa Rinna's like, oh, my God, my friend, Eden Sassoon.
That's true.
Wow, she is a staple in every Hollywood home friendship. I mean, what a friend. Eden Sassoon, is that you?
Eden Sassoon, the poster child for unreliable timelines.
Yeah. So the split ends of Housewives plots. So then we see a commercial for the gay house husbands. I'm not sure about this.
Yeah. Well, first of all, they have Todrick on there. Why did they cast Todrick Hall on this thing?
Yeah.
That kind of taints the whole thing for me.
Yeah. That's,
sorry.
Taint. There it is.
Tainter call.
There it is. Yeah. You tainted that. Get your foot out of my taint. So, yeah, I was like, I don't know. So then we come back and they're still talking about how Robin's calling Karen a bullshitter. And she says she's dancing around the truth and trying to fool people. And one day the jig is up, Karen. One day.
Karen's just like, okay, Robin. So Robin's like, I'm just saying what it really looks like. You don't want to be her. You don't want her around. So you're finding a reason to be mean and not to have her around. You know, Charisse is a human being. Whatever problem Karen had with Charisse, she's had plenty of opportunities to address them. And all she does is deflect. Look at Charisse. Could she be more human sitting there sweating in this adorable restaurant? Her makeup running down her cheeks, her hair frizzing up right now. She's a human being.
And Karen's like, oh, Robin, listen, I'm sorry to each and every one of you. You've asked and asked, and I didn't want you to know. But the plot was that I just told you. And she's like, wait a minute, so you can apologize to the group, but you cannot apologize to the person who was attacked by your nasty words? Where's Rita's apology?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
At which point, Candace, like, suddenly, like, her little robot, like, is like, activated. Like, Candace is like, I am now here and I am ready to be involved. So she's like, oh, okay, so you apologize to the group but not the person that was smacked with a margarita, but okay. So they're like, wait, what do you say? What's going on, Candace? And she's like, well, it just reminded might have repeated itself, and it was triggering to me when Mia apologized to the group but not a word to Wendy. So now all of a sudden this fight just 100% pivots over and into a new direction.
Right. And so, yeah, we see the 1 month ago when they removed Wendy from the group chat after getting into an argument over Peter Thomas with Mia. So they're like, well, why aren't you going to say sorry? And Mia says, because I'm not sorry to her right now. And Wendy's like, you're not sorry for assaulting someone? Don't you know the legal definition of assault? And she's like, do you? She goes, yes, I do. It is to illegally put your hands on someone. And I didn't give you the right to touch me. And so this one ignites again. I mean.
Yeah. So, but this is always funny because Mia is so dumb and Wendy is so smart. So like watching Mia try and Wendy just like, she like is always ready, you know? And so Mia's like, yeah, but do you know the definition of defamation of character? And Wendy's like, do you even know the sequence of events? Yeah. But do you know that, do you know about juries in courtrooms? Yeah, I know about jury. Do you know what a judge does? Yeah. Okay. Well, we're not trying to quiz each other about every aspect of the law. Hey, do you know what a recess is? And not the one for kids, but the ones in the courthouse. Okay, you know what? I need to stay on topic, yeah, Mia.
Do you know why people keep hitting the gavel? That's a gavel. Can't even pronounce gavel. God damn it. So Wendy's like, listen, we went back and forth and we argued. And she's, yeah, because I asked you a question and then I shared a piece of information that someone else shared about you. I was trying to be your friend. I guess you just missed the memo.
Wendy's like, what memo? You don't even know how to be friends to someone for 30 years. Clearly you didn't get the memo, so don't talk to me about friendship when you can't even be a friend to her. So let's talk about the series, because you were talking about defamation of character. So I hear you're going to be going around telling people that I called your husband gay. Is that what you're doing?
And she goes, yeah, you did. You said he was sleeping with a man.
She goes, what? When did I call him gay? Because that's your definition. And you said you pick out women for your husband to sleep with them. So how do you know when I say you all sleep with men and women that you're not the one sleeping with the men? You just jump to these conclusions.
Which is kind of funny.
it's hilarious because, of course, Wendy did say that. You know, you and your fucking husband are both sluts and you probably fuck everybody. I mean, that's what she was saying, right?
Yeah.
And so Mia's like, I am innocent of foulness and I got to think about it. And she's like, are you kidding? You threw a drink in my face. You're lucky I didn't throw a drink back in your face.
So now Mia starts trying to do do this angle of like, what's wrong with a man sleeping with a man? She's trying to do the, hey, you're engaging in gay panic, you know, when Wendy's like, no one said he was gay. And she's like, well, what's wrong with a man sleeping with another man, though? Nothing. So why'd you say it? She's like, don't you understand my point, you idiot? The implication is that you were the one sleeping with the man.
So then Mia's like, well, were you there? Did you see my husband sleep with other men? And she goes, but it's the truth. And Giselle goes, wait a minute, but why would you say that it's the truth? And Wendy's like, because it is the truth. And Mia's like, uh-uh. And Peter and G have been friends for years, and that's true. And you'll see it. You'll see it, guys. And Wendy says, well, Peter says he's not your friend because you slept with his girlfriend. And it's supposed to be like this big information, as if Mia hadn't already told everybody this.
Right. I
mean, that's what I mean with this show, just trying so hard with fights. And it's when it's going, it is going so well. But oh, it's like a clip show at this point. So Mia's like, well, I slept with his girlfriend before he came along, for the record.
Yeah. So he slept with my girlfriend at that point, basically. So Candace is like, well, you can take the hoe out of the strip club, but you can't take the strip club out of the hoe. Let me not judge, because there's hoes everywhere. Hoes at the bank, hoes at Walmart, hoes at this table with me. And they just cut to like Mia just like licking her tongue around her lips. So then Wendy's like, well, let the record show that you think after having an argument, you think you're entitled to throw a drink in someone's face. So Mia's like, okay, I'm sorry about the drink. Now what? Let's talk about the real issue. She's like, what are you talking about? That was the real issue. You threw a drink.
Yeah, it's like, I did not throw a drink at you because I couldn't. I didn't because I have real shit to lose. She's like, good for you. And so Wendy's like, yeah, and you showed your character. You're a gutter-ass bitch. And everyone's like, okay, you know.
Robin's like, Wendy's, coffee.
I feel like Wendy's always right. And then she just takes it that one step.
You know, it's funny because
instead of just keeping, like, you're the classy one in the argument. Why don't you just stay the classy one?
It's funny because that's what Dom was saying last night when we were watching. He was like, you know, her reads are so good, but then she doesn't know when to stop. Like, you got to just like do the read and then just let it hang there and move on. And I was like, that's actually, yeah, I think, very accurate.
Yeah, she just keeps going and going. And I think it's probably from being like a talking head on the news.
Yeah, because the talking head, yeah, you got to go.
Yeah, they just put they pit them against each other, and then they go, and then they're like, well, I don't care what you think about taxes. What do you think we've had to deal with for 30 years? And then, and it's not over until someone literally just turns the light off.
Yeah. So until the anchor says, okay, well, thank you all so much for this spirited discussion. They always do that. They always act like the anchors are always like, well, this spirited discussion, implying like you guys are all animals the way you're fighting, even though we pit you against each other and told you to act like animals. Anyway, commercial.
Yeah.
So that was my commentary. Like, that was my commentary on cable news, our cable news culture, everyone.
It was correct. So Wendy's like, well, you're a gutter-ass bitch. And Robin's like, you guys have coffee here. And so Candace is like, okay, Mia, do you regret throwing the drink? And she's like, yeah, I just said I shouldn't have thrown it. And Wendy goes, oh, yeah, well, she didn't own up to any – she owned up to everybody except for me. I was like, no, actually, she did just say, okay, I'm sorry for throwing the drink. You're like, Wendy, you're still stuck on the last fight. Like, stay current.
Wendy's like, Wendy says, no, I own everything. Don't do that because I gave you a pass one time. Is that a threat? No, it's a promise. So Candace is like, okay, well, clearly you guys aren't ready to talk, so we can table this. And so Wendy starts going, is this what success looks like? Is this what success looks like? Yes, yes, yes. Oh, she has to scream it to prove it.
And she's like, well, she's so pressed about my life, so pressed. Well, if you're so mad about my life, just say it. Must suck to be you. It's like, Wendy, you end like an asshole. Why do you end like an asshole? I just don't get it. You were winning. You were fine. Yeah, actually, you won the whole thing. You just act like such an asshole. Mia's already walking away. She's walking away going, okay, she won. Now she needs to yell about it. And Wendy's just like, literally cackling right now, like, oh yeah, you're so mad about my life, you're so jealous. It's over, Wendy. The half of the audience is like getting into their cars in the parking lot. It's over, get the hook.
Well, it is literally over because that was the end of the episode. So fun times. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. I enjoyed all the table banging and the reads, even if they even if they were not succinct reads. So it was a good time. And I, of course, I enjoyed most of all the maggot, the larva on the whatever it was. That was the highlight.
Thing is so fucking creepy. That's never going to leave my brain, that thing. So well done, whoever put that in there.
Yeah, seriously. Everybody,
thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back a zillion times this week. And go get your tickets for Watch What Crappens, the live tour, the Cheetah Brand Tour, to be more specific, over at watchwhatcrappens.com. And grab our bonus episodes and videos on demand over at patreon.com. Also, this week's bonus will be a season chat about The Traitors, this new show on Peacock. So we will see you over there for that later this week. Thanks so much for being here.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Du.
Aaron McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.